You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. On this spring election day, we're in conversation with the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Megan Wolf is here. But first, it's a look at school board elections today that will shape local education policy for the next several years. The results will have the most impact on a group of people who mostly don't have a say at the ballot box. That is students. But as Madeline Fox reports, some Wisconsin students are finding other ways to make their voices heard.
Allie Schlicht is a junior at La Crosse's Central High School, where she's on the debate team. She's also part of a group of students in La Crosse who are working to connect the candidates in the local school board race to the students they'd be making decisions for.
That's probably always a concern of students, is a lot of times they just don't feel heard by adults. So that is something that I am looking for in a school board candidate, is somebody who would listen to students.
Allie and other students with the youth advocacy group Leaders Igniting Transformation organized forums for the school board candidates, where they asked about some of the issues they most want to see addressed.
According to the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction data from the 2018...
At a forum in March, Kaylin Adams noted that Black students are disproportionately likely to be suspended in La Crosse schools.
As a school board member, how would you go about reducing racial disparities and school discipline?
Kaylin got involved with lobbying the school board after going to racial justice protests in the summer of 2020 sparked her interest in political action.
The only thing we could really do is just say what we need to say and then hope that it gets taken into consideration.
With the voting age at 18 and up, typically only seniors, and not even all of them, can vote for school board members. Allie says a board that answers more to students would probably look a little different.
I think a lot of the candidates would be focusing their campaign more on reaching those students and really seeing what they wanted more. Most likely also would be focusing their campaign strategies towards addressing the problems that students feel the most concerned about.
For the La Crosse students, one of those problems is mental health. They even successfully lobbied their board to put $100,000 of the school's federal relief funds toward mental health services. They also say addressing racial disparities and reducing the district's carbon footprint should be priorities. Some Wisconsin school boards have given students a literal seat at the table, if not a vote. Menominee Falls, Sun Prairie, Howard Suamico, and other districts have 2 non-voting student seats on their board. Bayport junior Kara Reen joined the Howard Suamico board in spring 2021, a contentious time when the state mask mandate had just been overturned and school boards were scrambling for next steps.
It was just very, very fiery school meetings for around since I joined. So being part of that, I think, just gives me more awareness about what's going on in my community.
She says all the uproar can be frustrating. Kara would like to see the board be able to focus on issues the student body cares about, like support and funding for social-emotional learning or equity in educational access, especially in areas like math and technology.
Really, this is about students from elementary to high school and being ready for the future. As a student, I just don't want the board to constantly have petty fights over things that really aren't about students or school board issues.
Rohan Gala is a Bayport senior and the other student board member. He says national arguments over race and library books and LGBTQ issues have been overtaking board meetings in Wisconsin. That's created what he calls a heightened tension around school board meetings.
Parents and the community members now see the importance of school board meetings and the things that school boards talk about. And so while I would like to see a lessening of tensions within the school board, I also don't think that that could happen.
In the meantime, Kara, Allie, and Kaylin say they've seen more of their fellow students interested in this year's school board elections than ever before. The students say they may not stay engaged with these school boards forever, especially if they move away for college or work. But it has made them passionate about political engagement and how they can make their voices heard. Madeline Fox, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And now to Wisconsin's top elections administrator, Megan Wolf of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, here on this spring election day when polls are open. Some roadmap for our conversation. We'll look at the litigation around absentee voting and the use of drop boxes, the training of municipal clerks, and what changes her bipartisan regulatory agency is making since the Legislative Audit Bureau released its report in October scrutinizing the 2020 presidential election. Are you voting today? Share your experience, what it's like, what you see out there. Do you feel elections are secure? 800-642-1234. Administrator Megan Wolf, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning and happy Election Day.
Happy Election Day to you. And in those words, can you take us inside the Wisconsin Elections Commission? Share with us some things that go on the inside on a day like this, what you could encounter.
Sure. So today, you know, election officials at the state level, we're really working on just answering phone calls, answering questions and emails that come in from our local election officials, from voters as they're navigating the election process. So that's really what we focus on. We have extended hours on an election day to make sure that, you know, those early morning questions and those late night questions as the clerks are finishing the counting of the ballots, that we're available to answer those. But I expect that today will be a relatively smooth election. You know, our April election is going to be those local contests that are happening in all of your local communities. It's our nonpartisan spring election. And so we'll keep monitoring the day and see what issues might pop up. But our job is really just to support our local election officials and our voters as they navigate today.
I want to pick up on answering the phones because there are more than 1,800 municipal election clerks in our state, and I'd imagine they'll encounter something today that may need your guidance on, whether it's legal or technology, like a paper jam or logistical, I don't know. You know, how do you interact with clerks on Election Day and triage what's coming at you?
Well, Election Day, I think, is just, it's such a great day for so many reasons. But, you know, we're a small staff at the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So we have just about 40 staff in our office. And like you said, there are 1,850 cities, towns, and villages. There are also 72 county clerks that are busy supporting today's election as well. And then, of course, we've got, you know, about 4.2 million eligible voters here in the state of Wisconsin. So there's never a dull moment. I don't think we put down the phone almost all election day as we're answering those questions, but it's a really exciting day. And like you said, we get a chance to answer questions. I've been in elections for 11 years, and there are still new questions that come in every day that we have to work through with our legal departments and with a lot of our election experts in our office to help the clerks figure out.
What might be those fresh new questions that come in? Can you give an example?
Oh, boy. Well, the polls have only been open for 42 minutes, so we haven't seen any real unique questions yet. But we have seen some questions already looking ahead to end of night procedures, sort of, you know, where does a voter return their ballot if they received an absentee ballot, those types of questions. And, you know, just a couple of reminders for voters, because we certainly get voter questions too on Election Day. All polls in the state of Wisconsin open at 7 o'clock a.m. and they all close at 8 p.m. tonight. So as long as you're in line by 8 p.m., you'll be able to vote. And you should make sure that you're checking our website, which is myvote.wi.gov. And that will show you where your polling place is. It will also show you a sample ballot. Some polling places may have changed, especially since the last general election. So please do check that out before you head to the polls today.
And that is due to redistricting, where voters may see changes to their voting locations. And I'm wondering, can you quantify in any way or describe the volume of changes you're seeing to polling place locations?
Yeah, so some of it is due to redistricting. So local redistricting still happened, you know, despite some of the challenges that are still ongoing with some of the state level lines. So yes, there are some changes that are due to local redistricting. But there's also changes that happen anytime you have a smaller election versus a larger general election. Sometimes the clerks have to find a new space, make sure that space is ADA compliant. There are all sorts of considerations that go into choosing a polling place and choosing a polling place that's right for that election and ensuring they have enough poll workers and that it's in a location that makes the most sense for their voters. So polling places can change for any election. So I always encourage people to take a look before they head to the polls for any election to make sure your polling place hasn't changed.
Let's talk absentee voting. The commission is recommending voters should check with their local clerks, as you mentioned, about the rules for returning absentee ballots. And, you know, after the back and forth in the courts, we now know that unmonitored ballot drop boxes were ultimately banned for use in the spring election. What is your guidance to municipal clerks about drop boxes?
So right now we are still waiting on a court decision. So there isn't any guidance. We're actually not allowed per that court decision to issue any additional guidance on that. So it really is up to the local officials to make sure that they're abiding by that court order. But what does that mean for a voter practically?
Yes.
So practically speaking, today, if you still have an absentee ballot that was sent to you, so you requested your absentee ballot and you want to return that, the first thing you should do is take a look at the instructions that came with your absentee ballot. It's going to tell you where to return it on election day. And what I mean by that is, should you bring it to your clerk's office? Does your jurisdiction have a central count facility where they count all the absentee ballots, or should you bring it to your polling place? So if you do have an absentee ballot that you have not returned yet, you can return that. Now, you can't open it and feed that ballot through the voting equipment, but you can return that to your municipal clerk by 8 p.m.
How are your municipal clerks responding to voters with disabilities that prevent them from personally getting to the polls or personally getting their ballot to municipal clerks?
I would encourage those voters to reach out to their municipal clerk if they have questions or concerns about how they're going to return their ballot today. And also, hopefully, we'll have some additional clarity through the ongoing litigation, the consideration of the Wisconsin Supreme Court for the elections later this fall.
Let's turn to the audit. After the 2020 election, the Legislative Audit Bureau completed a review, issued 30 recommendations to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. What is the status of implementing these changes?
So on Friday, we sent a report to the legislative committee that oversees audits, and we were very pleased to report that the commission, and the commission is the 6-member bipartisan commission, has considered all 30 recommendations and has made tremendous progress in implementing those. Some of those things are things that we were able to implement very quickly. Others were taking a look at administrative rules that perhaps have been submitted earlier, some of them as early as 2017, and were expired through the process where they're approved by the governor's office. And so we were able to resubmit some of those. We've even held some public hearings on administrative rules. So the commission is really making tremendous progress. And I think that it's really a testament to the commission that they're able to work together in such a bipartisan way, because any decision of the commission requires 4 votes. It requires a bipartisan vote to look at and to implement some really good policy as it relates to those recommendations.
In your mind, what are the key recommendations? What are the key policy things that you think should really get through?
So there were some changes, for example, that I think just help us to have additional checks on the system. So, for example, one of the things that we called out in the report is that we were able to add some additional matching criteria that every night we can run when we check for duplicate voter records, that we can add some additional criteria to make sure that we always catch those duplicate registration records. When I say duplicates, I mean, let's say you moved and you now have a new registration at your new address. We need to make sure that that new registration gets merged with your old registration. And so they gave us some ideas about additional criteria to add to that process. That was something we were able to implement right away. And then, of course, administrative rules, which, you know, I'm sure a lot of people don't, you know, have a lot of experience with administrative rules. It's a very complex process. But the commission has been working very diligently to address all of those. It's about an 18-month process. And so they've been working through that process with some of those recommendations at each of their meetings.
Wisconsin Elections Commission top administrator Megan Wolf stays with us on the spring election day as the polls opened this hour, close at 8 tonight, taking your questions about election process, voting integrity, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're back with the administrator of the six-member nonpartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission, Megan Wolf, here on the spring election day as we dig into election security, integrity on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What do you think could improve the electoral process? How do you feel about the use of ballot drop boxes in the past? What's your take on the findings to date in the GOP-backed Gableman investigation into the 2020 presidential election? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Administrator Megan Wolf with us for about six more minutes. Let's talk about the Gableman investigation. Nearly a month since the interim report came out, Michael Gableman issued this report on the 2020 elections, urging lawmakers to eliminate and dismantle the Elections Commission. He said you should be fired. And the commission said his interim report contained misunderstandings, false information. What do you think Gableman is getting wrong?
So we did put out a statement after the report, and we did point out the fact that there are a number of places where the report does overlap with the Legislative Audit Bureau's recommendations. So, of course, those have been considered and are being implemented by the commission. But I really think that, you know, in elections, any review of an election, and there certainly are processes in statute that constitute as a review. So we have canvass, we have recounts, we even have audits of the post-election of the voting equipment. And all of those things were conducted in 2020, and all of them showed that the results of the election were accurate and that they were secure. And so we're going to continue to focus our efforts on continuing to implement and deliver fair and secure elections to Wisconsin.
Just want to make a finer point there. Have you made any changes to the elections process or how your commission operates based on his interim report findings?
The commission has not considered that beyond the, again, the recommendations that do overlap with the Legislative Audit Bureau's report.
Voting in Wisconsin nursing homes has itself become a battleground in these times. Gableman said there was voting fraud in nursing homes, and election observers say he's sowing mistrust and it doesn't rise to election fraud. How are people casting a ballot in the spring election who live in long-term care facilities?
Yeah, so there's special voting deputies is a process where clerks appoint two bipartisan special voting deputies to visit care facilities and to conduct voting with the residents. What the law says that is that the SVDs have to attempt to make two visits with those residents. And if they're unable to meet with residents that would like to vote, then the clerk has to proceed to mailing ballots to those residents. And so those provisions are fully in place. In 2020, the visits to the care facilities were impossible. The clerks were not able to make those visits to the care facilities. And so they had to proceed to the mailing part of the statute. But right now, the health conditions have improved and special voting deputies are able to visit those eligible care facilities.
Megan Wolf, administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Let's go to the phones. Jimmy is with us from Valley Junction. Hi, Jimmy. Go ahead.
Morning. Yeah, I've heard the latest wrinkle on this election conspiracy thing is some folks want to have just paper ballots that could be tallied by hand, no machines. What would that do to the Wisconsin election? How do you see that working?
Jimmy, thanks.
Thanks for your question. So Wisconsin state statute actually requires most jurisdictions to utilize voting equipment. So it's a requirement in the statute that any of our medium to large size jurisdictions, they have to use that voting equipment to tabulate the ballots. And my guess is, you know, I don't speculate on legislative intent, but, you know, humans make more errors than machines typically, especially after a very long election day. And so any changes to that process process would require a law change. So it would need to be changed by law by the legislature, and of course signed by the governor, before jurisdictions would be able to go to hand count. Now, we do have some really small jurisdictions that under law are able to utilize hand count paper ballots. So that's going to happen in some of those really small townships. But even in those communities, the law still requires that they have some type of electronic voting equipment available for voters with disabilities to assist them with marking their ballot.
Let's go to Warren now in Oconto County. Warren, you've been out there. What did you experience in voting this morning?
Good morning. Yes, I was at the polling place just a little bit ago and noticed that my ballot had not been initialed by two clerks. I brought it to the attention of the workers there. One of the supervisors had the initials put onto my ballot. I fed it through the machine, and I was voter number 15, so the 14 people who voted before me, I don't know if their votes are going to count. And in a pretty small jurisdiction, especially on these nonpartisan races, there's not a whole lot of voter turnout anyway. So what's going to happen with those 14 votes that were cast before mine was cast?
Great question. And, you know, you touch on something, which is that absentee ballots are essentially sort of adjudicated, and it's decided which ones are going to count by your local board of absentee canvassers. And that is a publicly observable process. So when there are situations like that, where a procedure perhaps was not followed, like initialing the ballot, that absentee board of canvassers is going to look at those ballots and determine whether or not they should be counted. Now, typically, the law errs on the side of the voter in terms of if the election official has made a mistake that would impact the voter, that ballot is still going to count unless they have other reasons to challenge the ballot or the eligibility of the elector. But those decisions are going to be made by your local board of canvass, and that is something that voters can observe if they have questions or concerns.
Administrator Megan Wolf, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Megan Wolf is administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We have a link to the My Vote WI portal for all voting and election information from the WEC. That link is at wpr.org/mornings. Just ahead, it's transit managers in smaller communities about the challenges of funding public transit outside of large cities. Do you live in a rural area? What transit projects hold the most promise? It's 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're with us on the Ideas Network.